Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Courtney Nordrum from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. My guest today is Stephen Paskoff, President, CEO, and founder of Employment Learning Innovations, a learning and consulting firm working to prevent and correct bad behavior in the workplace.
Courtney, welcome, and thank you for inviting me to participate in your podcast.
One of the things that Stephen has spoken at several of our SCCE events on is bringing big shots back in line. Can you tell me why this is a topic that you care so passionately about?
Absolutely. Courtney, in every organization, there are big shots. And big shots can be people at the top of the organization, mid-level, even at what you may say lower levels. They're typically people who are extremely competent or powerful, bring in big revenue, or have unique stores of knowledge. They're seen in many organizations as almost untouchable. And the problem occurs when those qualities they have are combined with toxic, unprofessional, uncivil, or perhaps even illegal behavior that organizations, many of them unfortunately, tend to ignore because of the perceived business and organizational benefits that they bring.
It's the people who make a lot of money but think that the rules don't necessarily apply to them.
Well, they make a lot of money, they bring a lot of prestige, they have specialized knowledge, and no one wants to get in their way.
And they can definitely present a compliance and ethics risk to an organization.
Well, they can do that, yes. They can prevent legal problems, compliance problems. And, you know, it's interesting. I think that, unfortunately, sometimes other business challenges that can be even more extraordinary are ignored because of an exclusive focus on compliance and ethics. It seems to me you need to look at compliance, ethics, and overall business harm, even if there's not a compliance or ethics issue per se, if you truly want to address the problem.
The civility in the workplace.
That's one way of looking at it. And what it really means is you have to have a consistent set of behaviors that describe how people work together. Why? Because they foster productivity, they foster teamwork, they foster positive business results, and they also create an environment where people will let you know about problems and opportunities, and at the same time address and minimize risk.
Getting back to the big shots, though, how do they throw off this ideal world?
Well, what they do is you have several types. You have the big shots who basically say, do it my way because I'm in charge. I'll brook no dissent. I'll brook no questioning. You have people who violate the rules and say, I have a special standard. I don't have to follow the standards. And you have people who use their power to bully and intimidate and prevent people from speaking up about problems. They have their own codes of conduct, their own standards of behavior, and they intimidate others and can have extraordinarily bad business impact on an organization.
Why are these big shots tolerated?
I think it's simple. There's an error made by many organizations in terms of how they assess cost and benefits. Some organizations will say, well, we're going to say this person brings in $5 million, so for $5 million, we'll ignore the risk. They may say that the risk, as we see it, is legal, and that's fairly minimal, so we'll take our chances. The reason why you've got to take a look at business harm, as I mentioned, is that even if you don't have a legal risk and a compliance risk, though the chances escalate when individuals adhere to their standards of behavior and not the organization's, they can create a turbulent workplace environment that creates turnover, affects the way customers and members of the public look at the organization, can affect recruitment, collaboration, safety, and quality. And those are the business costs that organizations quite often ignore if they look only at an ethics and compliance, or really a compliance slash legal risk.
So since this is a business issue, is there a business solution?
Yes, the business solution is that you have to get leaders to recognize the business costs so that they can see the big shot misbehavior for what it is, a business problem, a form of resource waste, a form of bad investment, so to speak, in allowing that to continue. Then once you do that, you can establish a system of accountability, you can set standards, and then you can enforce them. Now, I've got to tell you, that one of the things that people often forget about big shots, many of them, if you do everything that I just said, honestly don't know the rules. They don't understand. I've worked with a lot of physicians and executives, and if you ask them, are you behaving properly or respectfully, do you say, of course I am. That's what I do. The problem is if you ask them, do you do this or do you do that, because others say you don't, and set out specific behavioral standards or norms, then they may be able to get their responsibility, particularly if the organization is willing to recognize this is a business risk that it won't tolerate. Think of what business risks you don't tolerate. For example, dangerous pieces of equipment or machinery. You fix them or you replace them. You might say it's a great machine, it costs a lot, but we can't tolerate the risk. This is the same idea.
It's going to be a combination of leadership recognizing that there's an issue, and then going back, addressing that issue directly to the big shot, and probably some training in general around policies, procedures, how to act. But is there really a way to modify the behavior of these big shots? Is there a way teach them how to behave?
Sure. The first way to do this is to take a look at your values and say, what do they stand for behaviorally? And part of the business's case is getting senior leaders to model clear values that are simple to explain, but they've got to be modeled. Leaders then need to talk about it, and they need to hold people accountable. Holding people accountable doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically fired, although for some violations it might. Mm-hmm. It means saying this is not acceptable, and here are the standards that we expect you to adhere to. Now, you mentioned education. Education is great. It's a core part of what we do and a core focus. But thinking you can solve this problem with a 2-hour, a 4-hour, a 6-hour class and say it's fixed, done, move on, is not going to solve the problem. You need to have ongoing modeling, communication about standards, holding people accountable so it becomes a new cultural standard of the way people interact. Quite often, and I've interviewed many, many of these big shots in many professions across a wide array of industries and occupations. Uh-huh. And what they have in common, Courtney, is if you talk to people, how did you start behaving this way? I modeled what I saw from those around me who were successful. That's part of what made me a big shot. That ultimately is what has to be changed.
It's actually a culture change. It's a sea change as far as the culture is concerned.
If you want to change the equation, that you're not constantly dealing with individual diseases and want to prevent them at all from arising, the answer is yes, you have to change the culture. But to do that, because that can be complex, you have to make a convincing business case as to why it's in the interests of the business at hand. And by the way, since you're talking about culture change, and it requires people at all levels of an organization, not just senior leaders, but those in different positions as well, everybody has got to understand the business imperative, and they've got to understand how it relates to them.
For example, saying something like, if we get sued, your name is going to be in the paper. I don't want that. You shouldn't want that. Is that something that would entice them to change their behavior? Something that ties to the business, their ego, and money directly?
Here's the trick, in my view. If you're going to raise that issue of lawsuit liability, I wouldn't ask them the question that you asked, framed the way you framed it. This could happen to you, and you could be this. Is that what you want? I would ask them this question, and I'll give you another example. How much time are you going to devote to this lawsuit when we're sued, since we're going to have to spend a lot of time working on this case together, like months? Ask them to think about the consequences, but they have to answer. Don't tell them. The key rule with big shots, they're typically smart, mm-hmm. most of them, is ask them, don't tell them. So quite often, for example, let's talk about inappropriate behavior. I've worked with executives or physicians. Let's use physicians. It's a great example, I think. A physician might say, I swear when I do surgery, or I tell jokes. That's just the way it is. And you don't understand the stress I'm under when I'm doing neurosurgery or cardiac surgery. And I use stress for these high-pressure cases to deal with this. The question you ask them is, let me understand this, Dr. So-and-so. Are you saying that you can't perform neurosurgery or cardiac surgery at the high level of excellence at which you say you operate unless you're allowed to tell racial or sexual jokes during surgery? Is that what you're saying? And I've never heard one say yes. They just haven't thought of it that way. Or you might hear somebody say in a business setting, you're asking me to moderate my behavior, but those around me, they're the ones, and they're even worse. And the question is to ask them, well, what other standards do you violate because other people you work with violate them too? I'm curious. I would ask them that with just sincerely, tell me, because I want to understand this. The point is it's just turning around so that they're interrogating you. You're asking them. And I can't say that it addresses all inappropriate behavior, but it gets people to think and realize that they don't have a response that really is particularly logical. Now, that's sort of an intervention in education, which you mentioned. But the key here is once you teach them the standard, it has got to be enforced. And if you don't enforce it, then you're basically repeating the pattern that there is a separate rule for you. We'll tell you about it, but we won't enforce it.
So there has to be accountability.
Oh, absolutely. Using the same series of analogies that I'm talking about now. Let's say you have a senior big shot leader who makes inappropriate comments, let's say ethnic comments.
Okay.
And you want that person to stop. The question I'll ask you, if hypothetically as the big shot Courtney is, do you really think, rather I would say to myself if I were asking this question, is the issue that Courtney, who's a seasoned leader, doesn't realize there are policies and laws that prohibit sexual, racial, or in our case, ethnic, joking, kidding, bantering, or comment? Is it really the issue that she has never heard about these statutes?
Yeah,
no.
It's
not that they don't know, it's they choose not to follow. That's what you've got to address.
And they think there's not going to be consequences.
Yes, because every message they're getting is, these standards don't apply to me. So if the issue is how do we address it, it can be addressed, but it's got to be addressed from some leaders saying, this is intolerable. And the surest way to get them to appreciate across the board that it's intolerable is to explain that this is a business drain and has a business cost.
What if the big shot is the senior leader?
If the big shot is the senior leader, you have a big problem.
Yes.
If it's the CEO, hopefully the CEO will listen. Hopefully his or her colleagues will listen. In some case, the boards will listen. But the hardest case is when you have someone in that level of responsibility and colleagues won't discuss it and the board won't consider it. And in that case, what you're really waiting for is a complaint. That's the problem. But I would say for your listeners, if you're dealing with a senior leader, what you have to be able to do is to build a business case. And by the way, I'm not sure I said this, the business case is best built within the structure of that big shot's organization. Telling a big shot about this happened there or this happened here, they won't get it nearly as much as if they see what could happen to them personally in their own organization.
And I think that that makes perfect sense. You're going to say, this is what could happen to our entire organization. This is how it's going to affect not only the business, but you personally and everyone who works here.
Mm-hmm. What we say is our learning mantra is you want learning principles to matter. I've got to make it matter to you personally. It's important to you, not to me, as the educator or compliance officer. I've got to have a simple set of principles. Here's what you need to do, and it's got to be sustained. So we say, just so you know, this is our trademarked method, make it matter, make it simple, make it stick. Why this is important, what you need to do, and it's sustained through ongoing cultural levers, so to speak.
I think that that makes perfect sense. Making people understand, throwing someone a copy of a policy isn't going to do much good because they don't know how it relates to them, how it relates to what they're doing, or necessarily how they're supposed to follow it. So you really have to give them context around policies and procedures. Going back to what you said earlier, there's modeling. There has to be modeling where the leadership actually walks the walk. They do what they're supposed to do. I can imagine with surgeons or with other very, very highly skilled, highly educated professions, arrogance is part of who they are. And it's part of how they do their job. And so when you take that away and say, you can't act this way anymore, it probably is a bit of a blow. And they may not even realize that they're acting in the way that they're acting. Thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Courtney, and thank you.